Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. The world of public safety, law enforcement, and the courts was under significant scrutiny this past year. We'll get a review from reporter Rachel Lippman a little bit later. But first, Koch Elementary School in the Riverview Gardens School District has been part of that world. One of its K-5 students, Jamila Bolden, was shot and killed in her home while doing her homework this past year. Students have been exposed to violence and its fallout since the Michael Brown shooting. One educator says some of the kids have been dealing with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. How is Koch dealing with it? With us to talk about it are Howard Fields, the principal at Koch. Kendra Warsham is the school counselor. I thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
This is a subject we all wish would go away, isn't it? Yeah. Again, thanks for being with us. Howard, let me start with you. In a very general sense, how are the kids doing after this last year and a half?
Our kids are maintaining. They're very resilient. We had a lot of things to celebrate this past semester. We had a lot of individuals in the building. I like to give kudos to St. Louis Rams, came out for NFL Play 60 assembly. We had a lot of kids dancing, a lot of teachers dancing as well, so a lot of smiles and a lot of things like that. We also had a situation where many of our students were able to attend the school over break and receive a Christmas present. So our kids are smiling. They're having a lot of fun. Hopefully, if they're listening right now, they are reading, because we will check on January the 4th. But they're smiling, having a fun time learning.
You just don't stop with that admonition to keep at it, right?
Absolutely.
And the community, has the community been responsive in terms of the kids and dealing with the school?
Yes, sir. We pride ourselves on being a community-based school. So everything that we do, every success we had, every growth opportunity comes at the opportunity of speaking with our community. So we get a lot of involved parents that will come in and just observe, help out, do a lot of different things, because we like to see the school as well as the community as a seamless entity.
Kendra, what are the challenges you're facing? You deal with these kids day in and day out, and I'm sure many of them have come to you with significant issues.
Some of the challenges that we face are just having our students deal with the situations that have taken place within their community. As I always see it, I think that a lot of our students deal with tragic situations in their own lives, and then just to have those things happen so close to home in their school sometimes makes a big difference. I think that overall, though, a lot of our students have been able to deal with those things when they're wanting to talk or express their concerns. They are willing to come to the teachers, the staff, myself, Mr. Fields, and I think that with all of our support, they like Mr. Fields say, they come to school and they're happy every day, ready to learn.
What could you give me an estimate of what percentage of kids really have severe issues as a result of all of these things?
As a result of the situations that have taken place, the severe issue, I have to say it's pretty low, between 5 to 10% of our students that experience it, where you may have them coming to you and want to talk. And sometimes it's not necessarily just about the situations that took place right then and there. Maybe some things that happened within their own families that they're wanting to talk about, just because that brings back those memories for them. And so I think that severe, maybe the 5 to 10% is the students, that population that usually have to come in and talk on a regular basis.
Howard, do they come to you as well?
Absolutely. Our whole entire building with the Riverview Gardens School District, we believe that we are going to meet the needs of the whole entire child in order to maximize student learning. So with that being the case, we have to build relationships. We have to take our students as they are. So me being the principal at Koch, we will have conversations. I get a chance to greet the kids when they arrive, as well as tell them I'll see them later when they leave. So myself, Ms. Warsham, custodial staff, teachers, other adults in the building, including parents, we all have relationships with the kids.
I would have to think that as a result of all this, some sort of special training would be necessary for those people you've just mentioned, the teachers, custodians, people who come into contact with the kids day after day. Is there any training available for them to recognize issues and to confront them themselves?
Yes, our school district has been spectacular with regards to just assisting. Need to be last year with Mike Brown, this year with Jamila. We have different opportunities for different service providers to come in and assist, need that be with students. Miss Warsham, who's sitting here, she's very critical in our day-to-day operations. So we have a lot of hands on deck to assist in a lot of different ways. When we return from school over the break, we will have a professional development to really assist with our teachers to really help with a lot of different things, need to be assisting kids with coping mechanisms or just some of the things you can identify to really help with the kids.
Kendra, are you the only counselor?
I am the only counselor at Coke, but as Mr. Fields said, just to kind of touch bases on that, whenever we have a crisis situation, we have communities that come in. We have Lutheran Family Services. We also have Preferred Family Health, and they come in and support us, as well as our other Review Garden School District counselors. So, you know, whenever there's a tragic situation, whether it be at Coke or one of our other schools, as a team, we are all supporting when we all come in to help each other. And so I think that that's great.
How do the issues present themselves? I mean, what are the kids undergoing? What are their issues?
Their issues are no different from anybody else's. Just that everyday life, just being a child, you know, and then also just being in a community where there is a lot of things that are going on. I think that as far as their issues go, they don't have just, you know, issues that no one else has. I think it's just things that everybody go through on an everyday basis. It just may occur a little bit more for them. And so, again, I think that with the supports in place, though, they're able to manage and get through those things.
What are the kinds of things they say to you about what they're going through?
Some of the things that they say is that sometimes they're scared themselves. You know, they may not feel safe. You know, they wonder if they're going to be moving. As Mr. Field said, our building is very transit. And so we get kids that come, we get kids to go, we get them to come back. And I think that their fear is that sometimes that they don't have the support, or if they're going to have the support, where they're going to go. And so I think that sometimes their fear is just knowing what's going to happen next, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow. Is it going to be the same? And so I think that a lot of times that may be the fears of some of our students. But overall, I think that with the support and with them talking, with me being able to talk to them or other people being able to talk to them, their fears are kind of lessened. You know, they feel like, I think I'm going to be okay. And so I think that that's part of the fears, but I don't think it's any different than anyone else's.
I'll ask you and I'll ask Howard at the same time. How do you develop that level of trust? I mean, kids, sometimes it takes a little doing to get kids to open up to adults. How do you build that trust and confidence?
I think that the way that I have used to build my trust with the students is to just kind of let them know that I'm here for them, kind of let them know that they're not the only ones going through these type of situations. In some situations, it may be even with personal things that I may be going through. And so I let them know that you're not alone. Even as an adult, we go through these things. You know, a lot of times what we focus on is just having children deal with anger, how to deal with anger. And so a lot of times kids think, oh, but it's not okay to be angry. And so, you know, we have to teach them that it is okay to be angry. You know, even as adults, we get angry, but it's just appropriate ways to handle that anger and express that anger. And so I think that just kind of building that trust and letting them understand that you're not alone, that we're here to go through it with you, helps build them.
Howard, what about that trust issue?
Being consistent as possible. We like to say back in the olden days, you would come in, everyone trusted everyone, and it was up to you to lose it. Well, it's kind of turned a little bit. It's been a paradigm from the standpoint of you won't have trust. Need to be from the community, need to be from the students. You have to gain that trust. And that trust will come from being consistent, having high levels of expectations, and letting the focus continues to be the same thing, which at Coke, we're going to need to meet the needs of the whole entire child, but we are there for a particular reason, and that is to maximize student achievement.
I've read that someone, perhaps it was even in you, Howard, that said that some of these kids are actually experiencing PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. That's pretty heavy. I mean, we hear that in conjunction with people who have come out of combat situations in Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan. That's a very heavy load to carry.
Absolutely. We spoke a little bit earlier about the support. Identifying some of those behavior, trying to intervene as soon as possible. And I can't take my hat off more for the district and our whole entire students, not just Coke, but entire the whole in, as far as the whole entire district, our kids are so resilient. There's no surprise why some of our same students, when they go to college, when they go on, they do outstanding things because they've been through so much. And it's an opportunity for them to continue to be focused and continue to move forward and do whatever it is they want to put their minds to.
Yeah. The PTSD quotient, Kendra, what's your take on that?
My take on it is I don't think that one particular thing will cause a student to have, you know, the post-traumatic stress. I just think that just the number of things going on throughout their lives, build to that, you know. Yeah. And so I think that I not necessarily have a lot of students that have those issues going on. Again, mm-hmm. that small portion of those students, but again, it may be something not only just what's going on now, it's like a variety of things that are adding up to that.
I would imagine certainly the Michael Brown incident and the aftermath of that certainly was significant and had an impact on the kids. But I have to think that may even pale in comparison to the Jamila Bolden loss last year or earlier this year.
Absolutely. If I can interject just sure. a little bit. Last year, as a whole entire building, as a staff, as a community, our doors, we stated that nothing would penetrate that. So we were so focused on making sure our students were consistently there, consistently learning. If they needed some support, we provided that. This year, it's been a little bit different because one of our own outstanding, I mean, this wasn't just any student. This was a young lady who attended Koch since kindergarten, so she was relatively popular, strong young individual. So I told Ms. Warsham this before, going to the classrooms and letting students know what took place was the hardest thing I've ever done in my career.
And difficult for you too, Kendra, I'm sure.
Very difficult. I've been at Koch for 5 years, and so I've known Jamila since she was a kindergartner. So very, very difficult and hard, especially those students who have been there with her as well since kindergarten. We did have a few that had been there since she started. And so I think that that was really hard. Like Mr. Phil said, you know, just touching close to home, just being in a school. Did make a big difference.
Yeah, I want to pick up on that. We're going to have to take a break now. We are talking about the difficulties faced at Koch Elementary School in the Riverview Gardens School District and how school officials there are helping the kids deal with some of the things that have happened, including the shooting death of young Jamila Bolden earlier this year. Our guests in studio are Howard Fields, who is the principal at Koch Elementary School. Also with us is Kendra Warsham, the school counselor at Koch. We'll be back to continue our conversation. If you'd like to be a part of it, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or we'll take a tweet at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation with Kendra Warsham and Howard Fields of Koch Elementary School. Kendra, let me come back to you with, you know, we talk about the impact on the kids. The teachers are not immune to the grieving, and they've known Jamila, and they've been involved in that community for a long time. How do they deal with it? How are they dealing with it, and what help is available to them?
Yeah, absolutely. Our teachers and our staff, especially those, again, that have been there since Jamila was in kindergarten, took it very hard. I think that just like with the students, you know, every day, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And so I think that day by day, the teachers just took it one day at a time. And just like the students needed that support, the teacher and the staff has also needed that support to get through the situation. And so, again, I think with us having a strong team, we were able to make that happen, but it did take day by day. And I think now we're just starting to get better.
Howard, you indicated before we went on the air that you lost some teachers throughout all of this because of some of these things that have been going on?
In part.
Yeah.
We've urban education is a tough job in itself. And when you try to balance meeting the needs of the whole entire child with the demands of where we are in education, sometimes it's quite difficult. So unfortunately, we've lost a few teachers, but we are just continuing to remain focused on providing our students with a high quality educational experience. And one thing I like to continue to remind individuals, last year, we had a lot of things going on, but we were still in an unaccredited district, an unaccredited building. Out of 70 points possible, the 13-14 school year, we had 14. So if you know anything about APR and all of that, we had to at least obtain 35 points at the school level for us to be considered a provisionally accredited building. So through all of the hard work, through all of the community partnerships that we built last year, a lot of the support, we were able to increase from 14 points to 42 points. We were able to have no students who read at proficient, I'm sorry, no students who were proficient or advanced on MAP in 13-14 school year to 25% of our students in 1 year. So are we where we need to go? Absolutely not, but we are moving in the right direction. And I think that's a testament to the community, the district, and the job that Dr. Spurgeon has done, because the River Gordon School District in itself, we've been able to increase in terms of trying to obtain provisional accreditation. I think sometimes a lot of that is lost.
That's a huge improvement for the district, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really is. Well, it's a testimony, too, to you people on the ground there that are working with these kids every day.
We're lucky. Coke Elementary School was the first school I attended from kindergarten to fourth grade. And with that being the case, sometimes I can't even thank God enough for giving us the opportunity to come back to the school and just work. We're just working. We're having fun. We're just trying to seize the moment and do something positive.
I wanted to bring up the fact that you are a product of that that district yourself. So I have to wonder what goes through your mind as one who grew up in the district and now you're administrating, the administrator at the school, the principal. What kind of goes through your mind as an adult looking at your world now?
A few different things. The district, in spite of some hard times, they've done a quality job spinning out a lot of different products over the years. That tends to come to mind. I think God is good because I couldn't have written this script myself. On top of the fact that you have that extra push. In sports a lot, they say, we might lose, but we're not going to lose at home. Every single night I sleep well because I believe that we are doing exactly the best job that we can. Can we do better? Absolutely. But given the what we've all endured and how we continue to push and continue to push each other and that collegial accountability we speak a lot about at Coke, we just want to continue to do something special because at the end of the day, if we know we gave our all, if we know we continue to support kids and support our communities and our teachers, then I think we will be impressed with the results.
Kendra, there has to be a lot of pride on the part of the staff to see these improvements being made and the kids adjusting to all that we've been talking about here today. The people who are part of the staff, must be very proud of what's going on.
Absolutely. And not just the staff, as well as the students. You know, a lot of times we have that quote, I want students to come to school and I want them to love being at school. Mm-hmm. And I will say that I have seen throughout the years and just kind of like just every year, mm-hmm. I've seen a difference in how much the kids enjoy coming to school and the smiles when they walk into the doors and, you know, happy to see the staff giving hugs. And so I think that a lot of those things also help with the students wanting to be successful in school. And so I think that that's been a great support and change. Yeah.
Do the kids know what difficulties the district has had, for instance? Are they aware that there have been problems in terms of accreditation and advancement and improvement in the system?
Absolutely. Our kids are aware of a lot of different things. In this instance, accreditation, absolutely. We did have a town hall meeting before we went on winter break, and I will give a plug to CokeTV.tv. It's an opportunity for our fourth and fifth grade students who are involved in doing some different things. They are a newscast that are presenting different information as it relates to Coke And part of that particular segment, the last one, they talked about accreditation and what it meant. So we understand that all of our work, which I opened up a little bit by saying hopefully they're reading, they understand that reading translates to how well they can do, and not just a summative assessment, in this instance the MAP, but how they can do day in and day out in school and how that translates to APR and how that translates into us being an accredited building, accredited district, and a lot of different smiles.
So you're actually training kids to take my job.
I wouldn't necessarily say that, but what I will say is this: there's nothing more rewarding than having a passion. And we work with the St. Louis County Executive Office, Allison Blood and Cordell Whitlock. They come in and they assist with public speaking and all of those components, and then we record. So for them to be able to be in something that's cool, we look at it as an opportunity for them to articulate themselves, to be able to write, to speak in front of a camera. Confidence has been tremendous. So they consider it fun. We consider it as an opportunity for them to get more opportunities for learning.
Well, Cordell is a good one to take on Absolutely. That particular task. He's got a good background.
He does.
If I recall correctly, I think his uncle was Ed Bradley, the CBS News correspondent who passed away a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I think that's true. Kendra, what are your challenges moving forward?
Challenges moving forward as of right now, I really can't say. I think that every day, you know, is a challenge. I think that when we start back on January the 4th, it's like starting over. But I think that we're always up for a challenge. And so I think as long as we're focused and we're working towards that goal, then, you know, then we're going to make it happen.
What about corporate support for the district? Are you finding that that's happening? It has happened in other places where corporations have gotten involved and been helpful. I know Build-A-Bear, for instance, was in there at a critical time for you. What about other corporations?
We have a lot of support. The district has done a spectacular job with building a lot of different opportunities for corporations to come in. So not having all of the corporations right now, I can also speak to some of the support that we've received at Coke. We've worked with the Crossings Church. We've worked with the Alphas. We've worked with a lot of Aeneas Williams, for instance. These are individuals that are coming in to assist with us meeting the needs of the whole entire child. So to further answer your question, yes, from a building standpoint, but from a district standpoint, it's been tremendous. I mean, washers and dryers, all of those different things. So it's a situation where we are continuing to do whatever it is we need to do in order for students to be successful. And I think that's echoed in a lot of our neighboring districts who are doing well as well, because they are reaching out and building a lot of different relationships. It does take a village.
You know, one of the things that's very obvious as a result of just the things that we've been talking about here, and certainly what's going on in the city of St. Louis with the gun violence that has just become over the top and off the charts. Do schools or should schools be involved somehow in trying to deal with this, trying to cope with this somehow? Politics doesn't seem to do it. Even law enforcement doesn't seem to do it. Maybe the school is the place. Is it?
There's a time and a place for everything, yeah. I would like to say. And as I stated before, we need our students being the best student they can be. Now, need that be they have some things that are bothering them in terms of hunger, then obviously we have to address that. If they have some things that's bothering them from confidence standpoint, and in this instance with safety, then we almost have to at least address it and try to put some supports in place, because if not, one could question, are students really doing the best that they can do?
Yeah, you say that safety is the number one priority for the school system.
Before teaching and learning, we must be able to have our students and mom drop them off. They're going to pick them up as well, so safety is paramount.
Kendra, would you address this gun violence situation here? I mean, from your perspective.
I think just overall safety we address through our counseling lessons. We also have agencies that come in, like, for instance, Girl Scouts. We have different agencies that come in and teach and talk to our students. And so I think that through our counseling services, we may not focus directly on gun violence, but we talk about violence as a whole, anger as a whole. And so those things, they do touch bases on within the schools, within their lessons. So I think that it's important that we try to build those leaders and those students that are going to be good citizens when they get older. And so I think that that's a very important thing to touch bases on, just safety as a whole and just, you know, how to better themselves in the community.
Are you satisfied with where you are now in this whole process?
I always see room for growth. So I wouldn't say I'm totally satisfied. Am I happy with what we have right now? Yes, but I always see room for growth.
Howard?
I'm the same way. I don't want to come across as insatiable or anything like that, but we can always do better. We can always improve. Are we doing the best with the information and the resources we have right now? Yes, but we can always grow.
We're about at the end of our time. Is there anything you'd like to say to those students who are listening right now while they're reading?
Yes, I am going to ask you, when you arrive, what is your reading level? What have you read over the break? And in a slightly serious note, Riverview Gardens is doing outstanding. The last few years, I've been there when we were deemed unaccredited, and now we are starting to move forward. So if you are alumni, if you have any stock in Riverview Gardens, please, it does not have to be Coke. You can go to Moline. You can go to Lewis and Clark, LeMasters. Just please try to get involved in our school district because we certainly need you.
Final thought, Kendra?
We miss you, and we'll see you in January.
January 4th. I want to thank you both so much for being with us, and congratulations to you for a tough job that you're doing. It appears you're handling it very, very well. So, Howard Fields, thank you. The principal at Coke Elementary School, good to see you. Have a nice holiday and a happy new year. Kendra, we want to say the same thing to you. That's Kendra Worsham, who is a counselor at Coke Elementary School.
Thank you all so much.
Well, coming up, St. Louis Public Radio reporter Rachel Lippman is going to join us discussing her public safety, law enforcement, and courts beat during 2015. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.